My name is Richard. This is my wife, Julie. I have a new life in Christ, and I am finding freedom from fear of failure, pornography, and low self-worth. Hi, Richard. Hi, guys. I was born and raised in Odessa, which is about 4.5 hours west of here. I was raised in a broken home, and my mother and father were never married, and I was first exposed to pornography around the age of 9. There wasn't a whole lot expected from me at home, academically or in any other way. I was raised Catholic and baptized at birth. I did my first communion, went through the confirmation process, and accepted Christ as my Savior at 17 years old. But nothing changed. We didn't go to church. We didn't read the Bible. And we rarely prayed about anything. After graduation, I went off to Texas Tech, and while in Lubbock, I met a girl at a department store where I worked.
Hi, my name is Julie, and I have a new life in Christ, and I am finding freedom from pride, anger, and people-pleasing.
Hi, Julie.
I was born in a small town in West Texas, about 30 minutes outside of Odessa and Midland. My parents divorced when I was 3, leaving my mom to raise me and my 2 sisters by herself. Being the middle child, I often had to fight for attention. We were brought up in the church, and we were there every time the doors were opened. I found significance in my academic and athletic achievements, and through this, I became a people pleaser. I became a believer at the age of 8 at Vacation Bible School, but most everything about my life was a checkbox, a list of things that I was doing right. The relationship was lacking. I was very headstrong early on, but soon slowly changed my ways when I started to see rejection from peers due to it. I wasn't good enough for the good kids, but I wasn't really bad enough for the bad kids either, so I wasn't really invited anywhere. I was introduced to pornography when I was 7 or 8 by an older cousin who was in high school. He taught me early on what a female can do to please a man. And took advantage of me in that way. I was very rarely without a boyfriend after this, and often had one guy lined up when I was ready to boot the one I was with out the door. I started dating my first husband at 16, and we became sexually intimate within 6 months.
So I met a girl where I worked at a department store, and we ended up getting married. And growing up, I had no example at all of what a man or of the house or spiritual leader should look like or would look like. And I was so sheltered from anything that ever happened in my family by my mom and my sisters and my aunts. And as a result, I became extremely passive and never knew, didn't learn what to do with my feelings. So I just suppressed them all the time. So after 7 years... Of pornography and not leading, my ex-wife, and she decided to have an affair. I knew it was going on for several weeks, but I chose not to deal with it because the conflict that would likely occur. So like Proverbs 26:11 says, a dog returning to its vomit, I repeated my folly and I suppressed again and I avoided it. And so on a Saturday morning after she didn't come home again, I decided to leave. On another cold Saturday morning in January, I packed up what I could into my truck and left Fort Worth. I filed for a divorce a year later. I had no community pouring into me. I never read, and no one ever told me what God says about marriage and an abiding Christian walk. So I left. I ran. Ephesians 5:31 says, a man shall leave his mother and father and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. And so when I got here, I sought the world. I started clubbing, taking advantage of female friends that I had. Then one day at work, I got an email from a friend that I worked with in Lubbock and that I had kept in touch with. And he asked if I would be interested in meeting a tall, smart, deeply religious, beautiful blonde girl. And I thought about it for a few seconds and I said yes. I was tired of the fake relationships and was longing to be known, accepted, loved, and just be me. Little did I know what God was about to do. Proverbs 18:22 says, "The man who finds a wife finds a treasure and receives favor from the Lord."
I broke up with my ex when I went to college, but after a really bad experience with a guy I was dating there, I ran back to him. We got married when I was 20, and it was rough from day one. He worked nights. I worked days. Our fights were very physical. During our four-year marriage, we had other men living with us. At one point, there was even a stripper living in my house. I worked during the day, quickly became a regular at the bars, and searched for attention from men. Had multiple affairs. My husband was completely oblivious. I became pregnant, and neither one of the men in my life wanted the baby. So fearful of what my home church would say, my hometown would think of me. I didn't want to be a single mom. October 2000, I had an abortion completely on my own. Slept off the medicine in a hotel room until they would let me drive home. The following spring, my husband got another girl pregnant, and that led to our divorce. I quickly started bargaining with God, made my long checklist of all the things I would do to get things right if he would just save me from all of this. But quickly turned to inappropriate relationships again in search of attention. In 2003, a friend invited me to Watermark. I visited on three separate occasions, months apart, and every time there was an advertisement for Someone Cares, which is an abortion recovery ministry. Once a regular attender, I realized that this ministry was very rarely, if ever, advertised. Through this class and other godly people at Watermark, God began to bring healing from lots of hurts. I began to finally pray for female friends and moved in with my roommate in July 2004. She was super tough on me and taught me that if I didn't learn to love and respect myself, neither would anybody else. Isaiah 61 became my chapter, and it's pretty long, but basically just says, you know, he's going to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, an oil of joy instead of mourning, a garment of praise instead of spirit of despair. We will be oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor.
So we met on September 15th of 2004 on a blind date. And after that initial date, we didn't see each other for the next 6 weeks. So we spent many hours talking on the phone and having very honest conversations about our pasts and owned all of our junk. It was during this time that we fell in love with without any physical lust complicating the picture.
During our first date, the conversation was easy and very open. We talked about our failed relationships and our roles in the demise of those relationships. We completely owned our junk and our failures. He prayed before our meal, which was a first, and he shook my hand as we said goodbye. However, he started out with three strikes. He was shorter than me, he was Catholic, and he hated dogs. Thankfully, he continued to call and pursue me, and God took care of the rest. During one of our many long conversations, I told Richard that I wanted to wait until we were married before we became intimate. He thought I was being selfish, and I told him that I needed to know that I was worth the wait. If I wasn't, then we needed to break it off, because I was starting to develop feelings. Psalms 51:10 says, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me." Oh, I don't care.
So after that request, I got over the whole "you're being selfish" thing, and I agreed. And then after that, the relationship really progressed quickly. Hate dogs is really strong. Can we just say I dislike dogs? Okay, I hated him at the time. I dislike him now.
He tolerates my dog.
Hate is so harsh. You know. Once we realized the only thing keeping us from being married was a diamond, and we decided we only needed a wedding band. So We soon became engaged and got married in December 2004, just 3 months after we met.
Once we were married, pornography became something we shared together. It was almost part of every relationship I had been in, so I didn't see it as a big deal. However, one time he watched it without me, and after seeing my hurt, he immediately threw it all away, and that was the end of it.
You doing first? Okay. Things really hit home when I was attending Connecting Point classes at Watermark, and Julie went to the service alone. It's kind of like Discover Watermark now, so you become a member. Todd's sermon that day was called Pornography, a Victimless Vice or Vicious Addiction. So after this, and you can still hear that online, by the way, it's out there, it's really good. As we walked towards each other after the service, and I noticed Julie in the hallway, and she was crying and almost sobbing. And as we sat and discussed why she was crying, the gravity of my hobby, pornography, hit me square in the face.
I realized at that point during the service, as I sat on the back row bawling through the whole thing, that I had never really dealt with the relationship that I had with my cousin and the fact that it was wrong and inappropriate, and then the guy I dated in high school. So decided at that point I needed some regen in my life.
So the early years of our marriage were filled with learning how to conflict because I had none of that. Getting her finances in order because I had none of that. Infertility, being turned down to become foster parents, and learning how to be in this new thing called community. 1 Corinthians 16:13 and 14 says, "Be on your guard, stand firm in the faith, be courageous, act like men, be strong, and do everything in love." And I went to a 6-week men's study at Watermark called A Few Good Men. And this was a turning point for me and how I began to understand what it meant to lead Julie and my family. I began to understand and ask questions about my past and learn to deal with the tough answers. That verse became my life verse, and with Julie's help, I learned how to properly deal with conflict for the most part and learned that having conflict did not mean that our marriage was over, but it's just the opposite. It's an opportunity for us to grow in oneness with one another and to bring glory to God. One of the biggest lessons I learned through conflict was that Julie just wanted me to listen to her heart and not always try to fix things in her life. I'm still growing. Romans 8, 6, and 7 says, So letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death, but letting the Spirit control your mind leads to life and peace. I'm learning not to depend on me, but learning to ask the Spirit to lead me.
I traveled extensively for the first 2.5 years of our marriage. We were very anxious to get pregnant. I look back and now see how I missed this precious time we had together. Because we were infertile, CPS wouldn't allow us to become foster parents. I decided to pursue my dream career. In 2007, I quit my job, applied to PA school, and got pregnant. So, yeah.
Yes.
We prayed with our community group, and I was accepted here at UT Southwestern. Our daughter Megan was 9 weeks old when I started school, so Richard played a huge role in her early years. He ran the household, yeah.
Yeah, so the only way I could do that was because Julia is really great about reading books and establishing schedules and plans for us, and I would implement all of that as best I could. So feeding schedules and nap schedules and cry it out, tummy time, all that became what we were all about in this season.
So we were living in Arlington, driving to Dallas for church and community, and I was in PA school with the infant, and it was hard. We dropped out of our community group at that time, and started trying to get pregnant again, knowing that it would take so long. So 9 months from graduation, we started, and Garrett was born 4 weeks after I graduated.
Yes! So we were really hungry for local community in this season at this time, and we tried going to another church in search of this. However, the authenticity that is taught and modeled here at Watermark was not there. So we returned to Watermark, Dallas, and began to pray about a move to Richardson and new jobs. And during this time, we spent a year going through Regen, a Bible-based recovery program, to ensure that we had fully dealt with all of our junk. And then God opened the doors for Watermark, Fort Worth, and we were one of the core families there. And while we were there, we found really good community that was different and that was challenging at time, but we never did throw in the towel. We were able to be steadfast and continue because we were obedient to the scriptures and what they call us to do. And we're still battling together through some of those difficult circumstances. Actually, you know what? That's our old community group. So scratch that last part. But we are being obedient to the scriptures. Oh, yeah.
So we still live very busy and full lives. In 2013, we did get approved to start fostering. And yes. We had 7 kids come through our house. We had a picture, but... and we adopted our lucky number 7 2 years ago. And
yes,
she's our little Spitfire firecracker. So many people are very leery of the word foster, but it's really not much different than being married. You bring someone else's messed up kid into your home, and you pray to God for strength to love and care them as he does. James 1:27, pure and genuine religion in the sight of God the Father means caring for orphans and widows in their distress, refusing to let the world corrupt you.
Back up a little bit. So yeah, we were in we've lived in the Mid-Cities area, North Arlington, for a really long time. And then we were attending Dallas since 2004. So when Fort Worth opened, it was a little bit closer, so we made the transition to Fort Worth, and we're one of the core families there, and I mean, it's amazing what God is doing there. Please go visit if you can. But Julie's job called us to come to Collin County, so now we live in McKinney. We moved in May, and that's what brings us here to Plano, in case you're trying to figure out what all that was about. Obviously, we need to update these. So Julie is a reflection of God's love for me. Her patience and grace has blessed me and taught me beyond measure. Her expectations of me have challenged me to man up and lead. Through Regen and Reengage, we have learned ultimately to lay the sin that has been inflicted upon us at the foot of the cross and to forgive as God forgives, but then to daily extend that forgiveness as Jesus does.
Being married to Richard has been better than my wildest dreams. I am in awe every day for the amount of genuine love that he has for me. Over the years, I've learned to let Richard lead and how to resolve conflict. 1 Peter 3:8, all of you be harmonious, sympathetic, brotherly, kind-hearted, and humble in spirit. The key to our great marriage is now that we have God at the center with community around the outside. We're still sinners. We still have conflict, but through 9 times of being through Reengaged now, we conflict better. We communicate better. We negatively interpret less, and it's pretty amazing. I really appreciate Richard for who he is, and I am very thankful for him. The reason our marriage hasn't failed like most sick marriages is we both owned our mistakes of our first marriage, laid these out on the first date. It is much easier to own stuff now without a divorce. We're hoping that we'll be able to break the generational sin for our children.
Yeah, so like she says, we've been through this 9 times, and man, we keep learning new things. It's amazing how God uses you guys to teach us. But then when we screw up and we model these principles, because we've done this pretty intensely here recently, when we model these scriptures and these principles for you guys, man, it's just this back and forth of glorifying God and learning how to do these things together. Reengage is not an end-all. We're going to do our best to point you guys to Christ, who is the end-all in this. When you fix the vertical, what goes on with your spouse just automatically gets fixed. And that's what we're going to teach you guys how to do, is to focus on Christ and let him take care of you and your spouse. You want to add anything? So in conclusion, if you're hearing that you can get divorced and find love again, then you're not listening. After divorce, you will carry your baggage into the next relationship. We are still broken, screwed up husband and wife, but we have committed to the covenant. We buy into the scriptures, and we lean into him and his example daily. The takeaway is to submit to God, allow him to change your heart, pray for him to help you see your spouse the way Jesus does, and choose to love as he does, unconditionally. A quote from John Piper that I really love. He says, when Jesus abandons the church, husbands, you can divorce your wives. If the blood-bought church ever ceases to be the bride of Christ, then a wife may divorce her husband. But as long as Christ keeps his covenant with his bride, the church, and as long as the church, by the sustaining grace of God, remains the chosen people of Jesus Christ, then the very meaning of marriage will include what God has joined. Only God can separate, and not man. Thanks for letting us share.